The middle fucking. AMC, there's also discussion what I need to know that for. That's not our subject. And then they have this fight, and then Vagabri Yadushal Moshe, Vachit from him, and Moshe Ben overpowers Hashem, grabs Luchas from him, and then breaks it. So we asked five questions, right? How did Moshe. Yeah, and then Hashem says, yeah, oh, good. And then Hashem says, Yosha Kirk Shabbat. If you wanted to break it, just break it. And there were fight and those. So what's going on here? So, first question was, is how did Moshe Ben have the Ozus to argue with Hashem? Second of all, how did he beat him? Third of all, why did he want the Luchos when he knew that Klal Yisrael weren't going to get them? And if Moshe Ben wanted the Luchos, said he fought so hard for it, so why did he break them? And why did Hashem say, Yoshet Kork Sheshabata? Those were the five questions we asked. And we brought the Moshel. Yeah, we saw the Moshel yesterday already. With the king that married a commoner.
Yesterday? No,
Day before yesterday. That's why, yeah, if it was yesterday, I would have remembered. You see? that's how you know it wasn't yesterday. Now I got a bit of Chalisha's advice there. But how could I forget what I did yesterday? It's because it wasn't yesterday. It was a week ago. All right.
Glad I made you feel better.
Shkoch. No, the Ramesh worried it. So we saw that he said, I'll marry you and you'll have all the powers in the kingdom exactly like me, we're equal partners. And under the chuppah, just as he gives her the ring, it's a mekdesh, she spits at him. He tries to get back the ring, she holds on to the ring, and then she smashes the ring. Sounds familiar, yeah? Sounds like another story we learned about recently. Okay. So we said the Chiddush here is Bechira. So let's see what this means. So we said she was trying to prove whether or to discover whether that which the king said to her, that you'll be equal power and you'll be just like me, whether he really meant that or not. In other words, at Kadeh, that I can do something like that and you and I'm still the queen. Yeah. Is your promise that I am an equal partner with you, can I rely on that promise? In order to understand the Maisa of the Shviras Halukhas, we understand something about the Cheta Eagle first. Shekarim the Shviras Halukhas in Moshe Rabbeinu. Before the Shviras Halukhas was the Cheta Eagle. Davka b'maimed ha-Sinai, Amid Klal Yisrael b'mifchan, is Goydel Koyche shel ha-Bechira Chofshis. Where did the big test of Bechira Chofshi come in? It was at Mamad HaSinai. Hem rotzu libchoin im yesh be'ef shurosom lishtachare legamre me'akodesh Baruch Hu. Bechira means that you can completely free yourself up from Hashem. You can totally dedicate yourself to Hashem, or you can totally rebel against Hashem. And the answer was, yes. Hem ayum sugolim la'isay, says Egel Azav. They could do the Egel Azav straight after having gotten the Torah. And the only way they could do that is if they had Bechira. And it has to be a Bechira Chofshi. That Bechira has to be totally unencumbered by anything else. It's hard to talk about this without actually spending the next 6 months or a year learning about Bechira Chofshi. We don't even have a definition of Bechira here. So just letting you know that there's something majorly lacking here when we're talking about Bechira Chofshi. We don't know what we're talking about. We haven't really learned the sugya be'iwanan properly, and I'm getting closer to having to take the chras to do that here in this environment. Because without the chirin, you can't stop.
Certainly yesterday was on topic.
Well, yes, that also was a misunderstanding of what the question was and what the bechira was, and the question wasn't even a question. I would have handled that question very differently. He misunderstood the question. The question of if everything is now Hashem, and everything now is Ratzon Hashem, where's my bechira? That was the question. The question was, if Hashem knows what's going to be in the future, that was the answer. There were two completely different subjects. The question's not a question. That's how I would have answered the question. The question doesn't start. The fact that everything's from the Rotz and Hashem and you still have Bechira, that's not a problem. Everything's from Hashem, except how you respond to what Hashem throws at you. Everything's from Hashem. Everything. And so, where's the room for Bechira? That's exactly where the room for Bechira is. How do you choose to respond to what Hashem gives you? Your circumstances, where you were born, how you were born, what you woke up with, where, your panasa, that's all Hashem. Now, with everything that Hashem gave you, make a moral decision. I don't see the kashya. It's a misunderstanding of two separate subjects. One is Ashgacha Pratis, the Ashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the other one is your ability to make moral decisions. Irrespective of what gets thrown at you. Auschwitz gets thrown at you. So now you don't have Bechira? Auschwitz was Kulu Hashem. Everything going on there was Kulu Hashem. Now you have Bechira. Do you continue being a Ma'amin or do you throw off the yoke? Well, what do you do? Hasina gets thrown at you. Could you... I just thought of something. Any chance of using your Bechira to rebel against Hashem at Hasina? If you're a betting man, I wouldn't have betted on the Echeta Egel happening. And in Auschwitz, any chance of someone staying a Ma'amin in there? The Mechaber of the Sefer for the Holocaust. If many people came out of Auschwitz Ma'aminin, Ech! There's a thing called Bechira. But the fact that Hashem sets up the entire environment and puts the whole situation and the whole scenario together, and that's Kulu Hashem, and everything that's happening here is Hashem, it takes away from our Bechira. Where? I don't understand. Anyway. So you shouldn't let people ask questions in the middle of a shir. That's my personal opinion. Invariably there's misunderstandings because you're concentrating on what you're saying, you're following a certain track, he throws a curveball question or whatever, you didn't really understand, you answer it quickly and then the law. So let me put everything on the table and afterwards I'm happy to spend the whole day answering your questions. But first let's finish the subject. Can't always do that. Okay. Hakol galu v'yadu lifnei Hashem yisbarach. Everybody agreed to that? Everything is known and revealed in front of Hashem. You're not hiding anything from Him. What did Hashem give Klal Yisrael the Bechira in order to be chayter with the Chet Eigel? What was the benefit of the Eigel? Why did Hashem give Klal Yisrael the opportunity even, so to speak, to be over with the Chet Eigel? The key to this subject lies in what we said above. A person has to come to a point where he's able to prove that he's on board and that he's with Hashem through Bechira and not through Kfiyah, not through force. Whether the force is a forced, or whether the force is just because it's so apparent that it couldn't be any other way. Like you don't steal when there's a cop standing next to you. That's not because of Bechira, that's Kfiyah. No, you don't get any brownie points because you went into the Makolet and there was a cop there and you didn't steal. You didn't have Bechira to steal. Unless you're a Meshuggah. If you're a Meshuggah anyway, you're not accountable. But you, no one steals in front of a cop. That's not because you're a tzaddik, that's because you were forced. Or when you have a gun against your head, that's also Kfiyah. So it's either Hakagigis, or it's just because they saw the show clearly, they never had Bechira. Hashem gave them the opportunity straight off to Hasinai to prove and to verify whether this is true or not. The Klal Yisrael were completely blown away, bananas, with love and appreciation for Hashem. Hashem revealed Himself in all His glory and His beauty. Klal Yisrael had a personal experience with Hashem. They heard Him speaking. They met Him, ponim upon Him. They had a godel ador, they had a rebbe, they had a teacher, a leader who saw everything with total clarity. Suddenly Moshe is not coming. Nitner Rashus Lasotan Lamidan Benisyoin Mahavakasha. And the Sotan was given permission by Hashem to test them in a very, very difficult way. Is They had a dimyon. He showed them Moshe Rabbeinu's funeral taking place in Shemayim. He died. V'sfurim hayu kimoy shemais. They took out the calculators. They worked out. Taka, he's late. He's taka late. And then they get a video coming in live from CNN, the Heaven Bureau of CNN, live from CNN, that Moshe Rabbeinu's levaya is taking place there. An incredible bilbul adas, an incredible lack of clarity ruled over them. There were those that were called mikatna imuna, those that got involved in this. Hayrav Rav also segel azav. Hayrav Rav came along. Aaron and ba. They ripped the jewelry from their wives and they made. Hashem amidam b'disayin. The color now is able to turn around. I'll make the story even easier for you to understand how they did this chet. But the color gets an opportunity to now to say, you're right. Moshe's not here. Moshe's dead. The world is returning to Tov Bohu. The world was coming to an end. I'll explain to you what I mean now. And in that situation, it's up a set of the move. But Hashem said, he's giving us a try. We're going to exist. I'm going to hang around and wait for Hashem. Against all the evidence shows you that you're wrong. The world is falling apart. It's destroying. It's imploding. Moshe is gone. There's nowhere to get the Torah anymore. We're not going to get Israel, and the whole mission of Klal Yisrael has come to a dead standstill. We better do something. Fine, Chet Ha'egel, whatever that means. And there were some people that said, Hashem told us. Moshe told us. Amri b'chakeh. Oh wait. After Chofetz Chaim, what will be if Mashiach doesn't come after 6,000 years? He said, I'll carry on being Jewish. Mashiach doesn't come after 6,000 years. Hashem said, Mashiach will come. He'll come. You must calculate it. You didn't understand. You know, there's room for error. But I'm going to lose my emunah in Hashem just because Mashiach appears to be a bit late? What was forcing them here? What was forcing Klal Yisrael here?
And Moshe told the people to ask Aaron or Hur if they have a problem before he goes.
Yeah.
So they have a way to...
Aaron was the acting stand-in God Lador.
Yeah.
What happened is the following. When Hashem gave the first of the 10 Ma'amorim, the 10 commandments, what happened to Klal Yisrael? They died. Yeah. How did they die? The Neshamas got attracted so much to their source, to Hashem, that they mamash flew forward, and in flying forward, the bodies flew back. That's how you die, by the way. Your neshama leaves your goof. It's not like the Minister of Health said in South Africa that the major cause of death in South Africa is people dying. That's what he said. That's what he said. He was asked this question in Parliament.
What's the major?
The major cause of death in South Africa is people dying. In Parliament. He's the Minister of Health in South Africa. What do you want him to do if not black? They died. They died. They couldn't take it. What happened? Hashem did Chesed Meisim. Said, are you ready? He goes, yeah, we're ready for number two. Let's go. Boom. Da Chesed Meisim. Obviously, they said, well, that's it. Moshe, we've seen enough. You go on. And Klal Yisrael understood that they couldn't get the Torah without Moshe. They could get it over that Maya. They tried twice and couldn't get it. Yeah? Moshe goes off to... And what happens if Klal Yisrael doesn't get the Torah?
The world comes to...
Bracious. What's Bracious? Bishvil Racious. If Klal Yisrael accepts the Torah, Mutav. I mean, Lo Hashem says, I'll turn the world back to Tov V'Bohu. So Klal Yisrael is sitting with a situation now where Moshe's gone to get the Torah. If Moshe doesn't come back, the world's going back to Tov V'Bohu. We're all done. And Moshe's late, and you know, watching the watch, and it's getting late and late, and Moshe doesn't come back. And suddenly they start having this vision of Moshe Rabbeinu's funeral, and they start panicking, and they start seeing the world turning back to Tov V'Bohu, and the world's crumbling. The Dimyon starts playing havoc with their minds, and they start seeing that that's what's happening.
Can I say something?
Simchas Torah, I was waiting for my Aliyah, and I was following the lady from my Mamzer. So they were juxtaposed, the Yisrael with Bereishis. I realized that four of the five letters of Yisrael are contained in the word in Bereishis. So the letters which are not common to both are Taf, Beis, spells Tevel, which we say in the morning, Aftikon Tevel Timon, which is another word for world. So it fits beautifully with the Rashi, which says that the world was created for Bereishis who are called Yisrael. It all fits together. Sorry, it's relevant. So.
Very nice. Because at any moment, in that they used their Bechira and they were wrong. Why were they wrong? Why didn't the Levim not get caught by this? Why didn't the woman not get caught by this? Because they had Imunah. What was the problem? It says they were cutting the Imunah. They were lacking in Imunah. Hashem said, you're going to get the Torah, and you're going to have Israel, and everything's going to be fine. Dude! Now the world looks like it's falling apart and Moshe's not coming back and it's going to be... One second. Did Hashem give you a promise or didn't give you a promise? He gave you a promise, Noah. What are you worrying about? Hashem said Moshiach will come in 6,000 years. He'll come in 6,000 years. Ah, it looks to you like Moshiach's not coming in this and the world's falling apart and da-da-da-da-da. And there's open proofs that we're wrong and that the Muslims are right and they're open. There's going to be open proofs from Shemayim that they're right. So what do? So, been there before. Been this, seen there, done it. You know, we've been challenged a lot of times when we were wrong and everyone was right. You know, the communists were right and we were wrong. You know, the Christians were right and we were wrong. And everyone's been right and we've always been wrong. So we'll be wrong again. But I'm going to come and be curious just because the world's going back to hold the ball. So Shimon make the world go to. That's Imunah. Imunah means Hashem gave you a check. The check ain't going to bounce. Ah, the bank says there's no fines. Is the deposit the check? It'll be fine.
Was a Erev Rav who do this one. The problem of Am Israel is it doesn't react like they have to react. That's it was a Erev Rav who
They didn't react because they didn't have Imunah. They were Mekatne Imunah.
Yeah.
They were relying on their own perception of reality, which is usually Dimyon, and they weren't relying on what Hashem had told them reality really is. And that's an avoider, in Imunah. And as you get older, you have more and more experiences with Hashem where it looks like you're right and he's wrong, and he usually proves himself right every time. So after you've had enough experiences and you have a reservoir of positive experiences with Hashem being right and you being wrong, you kind of begin to go, all right, you know what, you're always right, I'm wrong, instead of fighter. It doesn't faze you. By the way, knowing all this, in the end of days, the Midrash says it's still going to be enormously so. When the open proofs start coming that we're wrong and they're right, knowing that it's going to be like that, it's still going to be in the soil, because you still have to have Bechira. But that's what's going on here. Klal Yisrael had a Bechira, and it was a terrible nisoyin of Bechira. Because the world, it wasn't like, oh, Moshe's late, we better make a golden calf, we're going to bow down to something, you know? I mean, that was Avraham Avinu taught Klal Yisrael the foolishness of that already. When Terach went off, the Midrash says, when Terach went off to do business the one day, he left Avraham Avinu in charge of the shop. It was the famous Midrash. This week's Parsha. So a customer came into the shop and he said, I want to buy a pestle. So Avraham Avinu said, how old are you? So he said, I don't know, I'm 40, 60, whatever. He said, I don't understand, you're an intelligent person, aren't you embarrassed? You're going to worship something that was made 2 years ago and you've been around for 60 years? He said, I was tucking your aunt, and he went out feeling very embarrassed. It's the same thing here. Klal Yisrael just came out of Mitzrayim with a plague. So they saw everything that had happened, saw the Torah, got the Torah, died, Tiras HaMaisim, and now they're dancing around a little calf saying, you the God that took it out of Mitzrayim? Come on, that's pathetic. You can't understand it like that. That can't be pshat. It's ridiculous. You don't punish those guys, you substitution. Nebuch. You get punished for that? It was a Bechira decision and they knew what they were doing and they were dealing with very deep mystical things. We haven't got a clue what they were doing. But what they saw happening in our ability to understand was the entire promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu crumbling and falling apart. Because Moshe ain't coming back and therefore we can't get the Torah. We know we can't get the Torah. We tried. We couldn't. It makes it a little bit clearer. But in that moment, they used their Bechira and they used it very wrong. The color, yeah, now is an opportunity when things are going bad, without any kfir, to say, Nase v'nishma. Mila Hashem alai. Atahi yecholes leochiach shegam b'matzav shel choyshech, v'andil musia hi adayin Mamtina ach verach lechosona. It's like the little lady, you know, whose husband went out in the fishing ship 20 years ago and never came back. You know, she goes down every night with a little lamp and a hot flask of soup and a sandwich. She's sitting there waiting for her husband to come back. And they tell you, Mushuga, he's never coming back. She says, he told me he'll come back. It's Klal Yisrael. Hashem said he'll come back. Moshe said he'll come back. No, wait for him. Ah, it's ridiculous. It's illogical. It's irrational. When did Klal Yisrael ever claim to be logical and rational? When it comes to Imuna. Hashem said, you do. Ulam, Doiv Lev, Klal Yisrael, lo amad ben Nisoyin. Klal Yisrael didn't withstand the Nisoyin. And using their bechira, they did the Chet Ha'Egel. And the Edach Yisrael is Galak Khan, the Maloi Atzmusoi, Koyach HaBechira Chovshis and Nisim Vigdei Odom. Why is it the pasuk you just quoted, the last pasuk in Chumash? What does Rashi say there? That was Shvira Saluchos. The Einei Kol Yisrael is Shvira Saluchos. And the unfortunate thing, that was the greatest praise. The praise is going up. There were three praises, right, of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the greatest one was the Shvira Saluchos. You took them out of Mitzrayim, you split the sea, that's nothing. You broke the Luchais, Moshe Rabbeinu, well, oh, that's the best. Yasha Koyach, it was the greatest shmach for Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? 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 Because he showed them what Bechira can do. You really have Bechira. It's not a game. You used your Bechira to be over the Aveira with a Chet Ha'Egel. You know what that does? It's not just Hashem pretends to be angry with you now. Mamash broke the luchos, which was Maase Elokim. It wasn't just a stone, if you drop a stone it breaks. A chet can break Maase Elokim. You can destroy the world with your bechira. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu showed Klal Yisrael. That was the greatest praise, there was the greatest act he did, because Klal Yisrael now understood what the game was before they did it.
But if Moshe doesn't broke the luchos, what happened?
Klal Yisrael gets the luchos, okay, and the real reason why we win this world is bottle. Because we came into this world for one reason and one reason only. To use our Bechira to dedicate ourselves to Hashem. And if Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't break the luchos, Klal Yisrael never ever believes or learns that they have Bechira. And that a chet can destroy even Maase Elokim. And then you're going back to having luchos rishoin, and then there's no purpose in you being here anymore. So you don't go to Olam Haba anymore. And Hashem can't give you the reward that He wants to give you. The only way you can get the schar that Hashem wants to give you after the Chet Ha'Egel is through Luchos Sheni. Which is a fascinating discussion, which we'll discuss. Luchos Sheni had an inbuilt shichacha. Chazal say that had we got Luchos Rishon, no one would ever forget anything he learned. That would be a schmuck, eh? But you'd never ever get any reward because you know the Torah once and that's it. You'd know it all. Now what? How are you going to get into Olam Haba? So we got Luchos Sheni, and in Luchos Sheni, you have to go over it, and you forget it, and you have to do Chazara, and you have to be at it all the time. You know what you're generating now through that avoider? You're bringing a big, big Olam Haba now. With Luchos Rishon, you wouldn't have got to Olam Haba after the Chet Ha'Egel. That's the subject, and we'll touch on it a bit later, of Lechatchila B'Niyevet. The Luchos Sheni or B'Niyevet, right? Have we not done the Chet Ha'Egel? We've got Rishon, and now B'Niyevet Luchos Sheni. That B'Niyevet is the Lechatchila. That's the subject. Remind me one day, we can try and touch on that. How is it that the B'Niyevet is actually what Hashem wanted and was the Lechatchila? That's not a subject now. That's complicated, we have to. You can become an Epicurus learning that subject wrong, as some people have done. At the end of the Sefer, we have a chapter dealing with that subject, right at the end here. We're going to deal with this because there's been so much incorrect information put out on this subject that your mums can become an Epicurus on this subject. We'll see, we'll get there. Stick around. We've only got another. So, Kodesh Baruch Hu Yad closed to Klal Yisrael, the Koyach of Bechira. But nice and Lakala, I says, Kotane, do whatever you want. Whatever you want, you can do. Zoa Mashmois. That's what it means, Ishtoi Kegufoi. That we can do what we want within Torah tune definitions. we're in the ability to show our complete bechira in relation to the relationship marriage that we have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So it's a poshut on this. Nekuda Rav Dessler has a wonderful essay called Nekudas HaBechira. Not everybody has all bechira in every area of his life. Certain areas are clear, certain areas are just not even shy. Nobody, yeah, if somebody put a ham sandwich down on this table here, yeah, no one has a bechira to eat that ham sandwich. It's so far from your bechira that you couldn't do it. Not because you're a big tzaddik, but because like there's a cop in the room. Yeah, it's too low for you. And there's some things that are just too high for us. We're not even holding there. There's certain things you'll tell me, yeah, that's very nice, you know, but I mean, that's for the great tzaddikim. They're not kashua lai. So a person has to know where his bechira is, but where his bechira is, completely, completely free to do whatever you want. Think about what that means. Many, many beautiful applications of that idea. That your bechira, where you have bechira, is bechira chofshi lagamba. There's nothing forcing you. Which means, and I'll leave you with this, is that there can be no pre-existing compulsion or decision that's impacting on your bechira at all. Otherwise, it's not chofshi. If you're putting on tefillin today because you made a decision yesterday that putting on tefillin is a wonderful thing, and therefore it's the right thing to do, when you put on tefillin today, there's no bechira there. Because why are you putting on tefillin? Because you decided yesterday that it's a good thing to do. Bechira has to be where both paths are open to you, not equal, but both paths are equally open to you. You could go either way. Putting on tefillin this morning, you could not put on tefillin because you decided yesterday and you made the decision yesterday, you're going to put on tefillin. If you made a bechira decision yesterday to put on tefillin, you're going to get reward for that bechira decision because that's why you're putting on tefillin today. But when you put on tefillin today, you're not making a bechira decision to put on tefillin. You're still married today? You made a bechira decision to be married today? No. You're married today because you were married yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before. There's no bechira decision yet to be married. The bechira decision to do most of the things we're doing because we're just doing it as habit. That's not bechira. Bechira means at this moment now I could choose not to put on tefillin. Or I could choose yes to put on tefillin. Most of us don't have that bechira anymore to put on tefillin or not to put on tefillin. Most of us don't even remember having put on tefillin. The reason we know we put on tefillin is because of these straps. Did I put on tefillin? Didn't I put on tefillin? Oi. That's not bechira. Bechira means there's nothing preceding this moment. That's why it's chofshi. If there would be something preceding this moment, it would be because of that moment, not this moment. Anyway, that's...